Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is our gospel reading from Matthew 21. And today we hear that kingdom people produce kingdom fruit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1998, the National Youth Gathering for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod met in Atlanta, Georgia. And when one travels to Atlanta, you can't help but notice that one of the main streets running through the city is called Peachtree Street. And if you go to the southern Atlanta metro area, you'll find a town there called Peachtree City. Of course, no one's that surprised by that. If you go to Georgia and you find a street named Peachtree and a city named Peachtree, it's not really a great surprise. After all, Georgia is well known for the delicious peaches that it produces. It's known as the Peach State. And Georgia is not unique in being known for the production of a fruit. For example, if you were to go to Washington, I'd expect you'd think about apples. And similarly, Florida, there's lots of oranges. In fact, most states seem to have an official fruit. Now, I looked it up. Iowa doesn't, and maybe that's a lesson for us too. If you're really known for corn or hogs or something like that, perhaps it's wrong to go ahead and say, well, we care about a fruit too. Apparently, we care more about some grains, some animals. But the point is that each state is known, even if it's not a fruit, for what they produce. And while states might be known for what they produce, and particularly for what fruit they produce, the kingdom of God is also recognized for what fruit it produces, what fruit its people produce. Of course, this fruit is different from that grows on a branch or on a vine. But kingdom people, they produce kingdom fruit. And the production of kingdom fruit is a special task that's given to its people by the Almighty God, their King. And the importance of that task, well, you can't really overstate it, especially when you consider that the task has been taken away from others who failed to produce. That's what is taught in the gospel reading for today in Matthew 21. And we're going to take a closer look at this message from God. We look at the context from last week, from earlier in Matthew 21. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" They questioned Jesus, as we learned last week. And Jesus addresses this question by replying. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come from? From heaven or from men?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And Jesus is still addressing those who refused that he talked to in the gospel reading. He addresses them again, who directed their refusal towards him. They refused to acknowledge him. They refused to believe Jesus. Just as John had taught, they continued to refuse to believe him. And he teaches this parable. "There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. And when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the owner of the vineyard, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a wretched death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, he will be crushed." And further, the gospel reading records, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived it was about them. Their perception is correct. The chief priests and the Pharisees had not been producing kingdom fruit. Now, they were rejecting the very Son of God and would be responsible for his death. They were following the pattern of their forefathers who'd rejected the prophets, who'd rejected their message, whose prophetic message was fulfilled in Jesus. And the result of their actions? It's stated boldly, emphatically, by Jesus. He says, "I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." These words of rejection, spoken by those who deny, to those who denied Jesus, carry a special emphasis to those who've been given the kingdom of God. The emphasis of the message is as strong to these new tenants. Simply stated, the kingdom of God will be given to people producing its fruits. What does this mean? Fruit production is expected. Fruit production is normal for kingdom people. Or, as we stated as our theme, kingdom people produce kingdom fruits. Through word and sacrament, by God's grace in Christ Jesus, we have been made into the new people of the kingdom. We truly do not and did not and do not deserve this honored position. This, as the scriptures declare, we were enemies of God. But in that state, God reconciled himself to us. He reconciled us to himself. As Paul wrote in the church in Rome, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we received this reconciliation through the forgiveness of sins in the waters of baptism. Sins are washed away, and faith is given. By faith, then, we believe in Jesus as the Son of God. By faith, we are tenants of God's vineyard. By faith, we bear fruit for the kingdom that we've been called into. This is in accord with the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans, who wrote, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." Let there be no doubt. To be kingdom people is a gift. The words of Jesus are clear. The kingdom of God is given. But at the same time, let us also be clear and equally understood that the production of kingdom fruit is the expectation of kingdom people. As Jesus taught in the parable, the master will let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruit in their season. This is not a new expectation for kingdom people. It was declared of old by the prophets in Isaiah 5. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. God expects good fruit from his people. The message of John the Baptist was equally clear. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. As people of the kingdom of God, we are in a new state. Not one of the union like Georgia or Iowa, but instead a state of righteousness, a state of the kingdom of God. In this state, the production of our sanctified lives in the kingdom is kingdom fruit. It's fruits of righteousness, namely repentance, faith, works of faith, the making of disciples. The good news is that we are not left to this task without God's help. As people in the kingdom, God graciously nurtures and generously gives us everything we need to produce fruit. The words from the gospel reading remind us of what the master's done. The master planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press and built a tower. All this he did before turning the vineyard over to tenants. The master supplied everything the tenants needed to produce fruit. And as he did for Israel, so he's done even more so for us. The Lord supplies all we need. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. He enlightens us with his gifts. We are connected to Jesus, who is our lifeline for bearing fruit. That's how the message in John 15 reads. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. He empowers us through word. He empowers us through sacrament for this very purpose, being fully restored, being fully nurtured by God. We walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. The question is, as the study Bible related to Isaiah 5 asks, does the fruit of your service match the generosity of his nurture? As Jesus declared, everyone to whom much is given, of him much more will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. In Luke. God has been abundantly generous. God is still abundantly generous to us, his people. We lack nothing for the work of his kingdom. Yet too often we find ourselves making excuses instead of producing fruit. We even fall into the trap the original tenants fell into. We believe that we possess, that what we possess is ours. My time, my treasure. Meanwhile, the psalmist reminds us, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We have the warning of what happens to those who do not respond to that generosity, to those who reject his word, to those who reject the very Son, and for those who do not produce. The kingdom will be taken away. Therefore, with repentant hearts and forgiven lives, we do well to heed the words of Colossians. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. for those to whom the kingdom has been given? It is fruit production season. That's what the kingdom people do. By God's grace, that's what the LWML does. It is well known for its emphasis on fruit production, as its pledge expresses, which we'll say later. From churches to communities to the world, the Lutheran woman in mission are well known for gathering mites, for mission grants in home, global, and global work. Their labors extend also to meals for those who need them, for meals as people to help, for quilts, and mission, connecting the congregation and the community and the world. The LWML is a blessing to many. Kingdom fruit, kingdom people producing kingdom fruit. Fits well with the description of their purpose and mission. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us every healthy tree bears good fruit. As followers of Jesus, God makes us healthy in Christ. We are in the right state, namely in his kingdom. We are in the right season, a fruit-producing season. So kingdom people, produce fruit. Bear forth the fruits of repentance. Bear forth the fruits of faith. Bear forth the fruits of works of faith. Go, make disciples. And may the kingdom of God be recognized by our fruit. May they see our deeds and praise our Father in heaven. To God alone be the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.